check out our new NBA show, Beyond the Arc, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network, where you can find me, John Gonzalez, NBA insider Bill Reiter, and Ashley Nicole Moss 5 days a week talking all things NBA. Whether you're looking for insightful discussions, upbeat commentary, breaking news, interviews, or coverage of all the biggest stories in the NBA, our new show is the place to be 5 days a week. Download and follow Beyond the Arc on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your favorite podcasts.
Welcome to The Late Show, everybody. I'm your host, Stephen Colbert. You know, over the last 6 years, we've all had a lot of fun with the idea that nothing means anything, there are no consequences, tear up your history books and live in a cave. But occasionally, every so often, and this is one of those so oftens, something means something. And meaning of any kind is kryptonite for former president, the Count of Mostly Crisco. Longtime viewers of America will recall that last month the FBI went into Mar-a-Lago and found a bunch of documents that are super top secret, which is super top illegal. And the former president has desperately been trying to stall the investigation because he is super top guilty. Allegedly. We good? Lawyers good? Okay. And right away, he got some help from conservative judge and girl from The Ring who went to law school. Eileen Cannon. Judge Cannon appalled the legal community when she ruled the Justice Department could not use the over 100 classified documents found at Mar-a-Lago in their criminal investigation of the over 100 classified documents found at Mar-a-Lago. She said the DOJ had to wait. They just wait until those documents had been reviewed by something called a special master, which she said would take until November 30th. November 30th! That would give the president way too much time to hide all the remaining evidence. I can imagine how he would stuff his Thanksgiving turkey. And...
good.
The Christmas can. The Justice Department warned Cannon that they would appeal her ridiculous ruling unless she modified it in some way. She said she wouldn't, so they appealed it. And last night, the 11th Circuit Court of Appeals ruled that the Justice Department can use the Mar-a-Lago documents in its criminal probe. Boom! 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 Oh, shucky ducky, something means something. It's happening. Actions have consequences. I am so excited to find out the unimaginable permanent damage he's done to our national security. USA? The appeals court obliterated the former president's most frequent defense, writing, "The plaintiff suggests that he may have declassified these documents when he was president, but the record contains no evidence that any of these records were declassified." Yes, thank you. You can't say there's an alibi and then produce no evidence of your alibi. Officer, I couldn't have robbed that bank. I was at dinner with my girlfriend. What's her name and where did we have dinner? That's on a need-to-know basis, and you don't need to know that I made that up. Importantly... drop this. Sorry about the language. Okay. Sorry about the language. Family show. Now, importantly, the appeals court also noted that declassifying an official document would not change its content or render it personal, and therefore, the declassification argument is a red herring. Red herring, also what the former president calls a filet-o-fish smothered in ketchup. Now, to add insult... now... in ketchup. To add insult to injury, two of the three judges on the panel were appointed by the former president. Oh, that's gotta sting. That's like getting a Father's Day mug that says, "Dad of the Year is now Mom's new boyfriend. We love you, Rick." Rick's a good guy. Rick's a really solid guy. You'd like him. Last night, to defend himself, the former president sat down with Fox News host and stepdad who ran over the hamster, Sean Hannity. First up, the former president claimed that despite there being absolutely zero evidence all the documents found at Mar-a-Lago had been declassified thanks to a special power.
If you're the president of the United States, you can declassify just by saying it's declassified, even by thinking about it.
That's right. That's right. Oh, no. That's true. That's true. He declassified them with his mind. Pick a document. You have the document? Hold it in your mind. Don't tell me what it is. Are these your launch codes? One itsy-bitsy problem. The claim that a president can declassify documents just by thinking about it is not supported by prior practice or legal precedent. Oh, really? How about now? Still no? Okay. All right. What is that? Former president then used his mind to make more dumb words come out of his stupid mouth.
There doesn't have to be a process. There can be a process, but there doesn't have to be. You're the president. You make that decision. So when you send it, it's declassified. I declassified everything.
Everything. Okay, I'll hop on that crazy train. Let's say he telepathically declassified everything. Like he was wearing a treason cerebro. That means he thinks it's a good idea somehow for everyone to know foreign nuclear secrets and somehow getting all the names of America's undercover spies out there. How is that better? Isn't getting the names all of America's undercover spies what Tom Cruise is trying to steal in the first Mission Impossible? And somehow I cannot picture the former president in that outfit. Jimmy, wow. Put that back up. Can I see that again? Oh, damn. The president. Wow. To quote from my youth, baby got back. Right? Yes? I believe the term is cake. Then.
Hey.
I think we just broke the internet, you guys. Then the former president claimed that he didn't pack the boxes, so he didn't know what was in the boxes. Then he said exactly what was in the boxes.
Boxes and boxes of pictures, newspaper articles, even kitchen things. You have tremendous amounts of different items. Much clothing.
Yes. Yes. Oh, yes. Much clothing. Many shirts. Very pant. Such sock. Then the stable genius complained about what the FBI took from the boxes.
They took a lot. I think they took my will. I found out yesterday. I said, where is it?
You know things are going really well when a guy says, I was looking for my will yesterday. Why? No reason. Now, where are my 3 passports and my bag of mustaches? After that, the former president. Sure. Why not? Why not?
Quality joke.
You will enjoy these jokes. After that, the former president's excuses got weirder.
There's also a lot of speculation because of what they did, the severity of the FBI coming and raiding Mar-a-Lago. Were they looking for the Hillary Clinton emails that were deleted, but they are around someplace? Were they looking for the spying?
You don't say
Trump's?
You had it. No.
They may be saying they may have thought that it was in there.
I'm sorry. What? That is so crazy. That's so crazy. He confused Sean Hannity, and Sean comes pre-confused. At this point, he's just throwing out magnetic conspiracy theories at the refrigerator to see what they spell out. Maybe they were looking in my basement for the Sasquatch who shot JFK with Hunter Biden's laptop, with his partner, the Chupacabra, who hung Jeffrey Epstein with Barack Obama's long-form birth certificate chemtrails. Then Mar-a-Lago The Mar-a-Lago investigation isn't the only legal trouble for the ex-prez. Yesterday, the New York Attorney General Letitia James held a press conference to announce a massive lawsuit against the ex-president's business for repeatedly lying about the value of his assets in order to defraud the banks who were giving him loans. But on Hannity, the former president trotted out a watertight defense. The banks should have known I'm a liar.
We have a disclaimer right on the front. And it basically says, you know, get your own people. You're at your own risk. This was done by management. It wasn't done by it was done by management. So don't rely on the statement that you're getting.
Then why have a statement? I don't. What kind of excuse is that? We put on the standard disclaimer. I'm lying. I would love to see him close a business deal. Shall we shake on it? Psych. Now, what's this? Is this happening right now? Is this happening right now? I'm being told that there's breaking squirrel news. Take a look at this footage that went viral this week of a Pennsylvania man at home trying to conduct a work Zoom call.
In purposes of, you know, town hall, let's just get in to, let's just get in via like.
Chuck, can you mute?
Intense.
Now, that might seem like an extreme reaction to a squirrel getting loose in your house, but apparently it's not the first time. As he explained to the internet, over the years, I've been terrorized by squirrels, adding, ah! 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 We got a great show for you tonight.
Coming up, Neil deGrasse Tyson.
Check out our new NBA show, Beyond the Arc, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network, where you can find me, John Gonzalez, NBA insider Bill Reiter, and Ashley Nicole Moss 5 days a week talking all things NBA. Whether you're looking for insightful discussions, upbeat commentary, breaking news, interviews, or coverage of all the biggest stories in the NBA, our new show is the place to be 5 days a week. Download and follow Beyond the Arc on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your favorite podcasts.
Ladies and gentlemen, my first guest tonight is a renowned astrophysicist who has just written a new book called Starry Messenger, Cosmic Perspectives on Civilization. Please welcome back to The Late Show, Neil deGrasse Tyson. Come on. Neil, my friend, it's good to see you again.
Wait, there was one section that didn't give me a standing ovation right there. I don't know what happened.
We'll get them later.
We'll get them later.
We'll use some digital rendering to make them stand. There's always so much to talk with you about, my friend. You were last here in April.
Okay.
Check
right.
Your calendar.
Yeah.
You're in April. Since then, we talked about the Webb telescope going out there, but since then, the Webb telescope is out there. It's unfolded. It's giving us new glimpses of the universe.
Oh, yeah.
This is the successor to the Hubble telescope, which itself was incredibly impressive and important. What do you make of the new telescope so far?
It's all that.
And a bag of chips.
By the way, you casually said it unfolded. Many people don't realize this telescope is way bigger than the fairing that launched it on the rocket.
And a fairing is the encasement.
It's the encasement. And so the engineers said, let's figure out how to fold the telescope, stick it in the fairing, and then unfold it a million miles out where it's parked. And so that's what happened.
It kind of looks like a flower. It even has a stamen.
that would be the secondary. We were shocked for it having met the specs, because there were so many ways that could have failed, that when it met what it was designed to do, we were all shocked. And
delightfully there are hundreds shocked. Of single point failures. Like, yes. This thing goes wrong, the whole thing fails.
Yeah, yeah. So we were delighted, and it did exactly what we expected it to do. So it looked at to the edge of the universe, finding galaxies being born, and you could, because it's infrared, it peers through nearby gas clouds. Stars are made of gas. They're made from gas clouds. So when you peer in, you see the stellar nursery that lurks within. And what?
You sound like you're doing the voiceover for like a trailer for a movie. The stellar nursery that lurks within.
In a world. Right,
exactly.
Right.
Is that what we're looking at
yes,
here?
Yes, oh, that's it. Yes,
so
yes.
What is this?
Yes, now I want to look at it. Right, so. Oh, sorry.
That's
sorry.
All right. That's all
TV.
Right. They don't deserve
it's
it.
It's TV.
Exactly.
So this
you
is
can
the,
look it up there.
Thank you. The Carina Nebula. So this is a gas cloud. Deep within is forming brand new stars. It's a stellar nursery. And it's forming not only stars, but planets in orbit around them. Exoplanets. And so we now have more than 5,000 exoplanets in the catalog. And this telescope is going to be among its many abilities, it'll be able to measure the chemistry of the atmosphere of exoplanets that pass in front of their host star.
How's it do that?
How's it do it? Okay, well, you find a planet that does eclipse its host star.
So it comes between us,
and then the light from the host star comes through the atmosphere to us. And that atmosphere leaves its fingerprint on the spectrum of that light. And so you can see, does it have methane and oxygen and nitrogen and other things? And we have a list of molecules that are we call them biomarkers. And if you see that molecule in the atmosphere, you better check the surface because something down there is making it, okay? Something such as life. So oxygen on Earth would not be stable were it not for plant life continually generating it.
So if we see a lot of oxygen.
Oh my gosh. Yes. Yes.
Okay.
We're going there first.
So this is gonna, how will this improve or in any way change our model of exoplanets?
No, so here's the way to think about it, okay? If you came up to a house and had a lawn and your vision was not all that good, you say, oh, there's a green carpet, all right, surrounding it. And that's accurate. But if you have better vision, more resolution, you say, wait a minute, there are blades of grass there. So this is an extra detail deeper than what you had first thought. It doesn't change your view, it adds to it. Not every scientific discovery changes what we thought before. It's accretive so that the growth of our knowledge. Now, here's a problem. As the area of our knowledge grows, so too does the perimeter of our ignorance. Just saying.
Do you stay up late at night and go, perimeter of our ignorance, and you write that down? I'm using that someday soon.
No, I'm feeling it. When you feel it, the words just...
You're flowing. You're flowing.
The words just pour down.
You're spitting science is what you're doing. Hey, I want to ask, he's talking about wordsmith. JFK said a little over 60 years ago, we're going to go to the moon and do these other things, not because they're easy, because they're hard.
Yeah.
And we went to the moon by the end of the decade, and we went there for 3 years. In 72, we went, okay, we're done going there with Apollo 17. Why haven't we been back, Neil Tyson?
Because you didn't quote the part of his speech in May 1962 where Yuri Gagarin had just come out of orbit.
Yeah.
Yuri Gagarin, the evil, godless communist Russians, right?
Sure.
Okay. He just came out of orbit, and we didn't have a spaceship that wouldn't blow up on the launch pad that would be rated enough to carry people. So they called a joint session of Congress, and he addressed them. And there's a whole paragraph there. It said, if the events of recent weeks, he couldn't even utter the man's name.
Wow.
The events of recent weeks are any indication of the impact of this adventure on the minds of men everywhere. Then we need to show the world the path of freedom over the path of tyranny. Then he said, let's go to the moon, okay?
So it was specifically a political response.
That they were going to write the checks. But we don't remember that part because we want better memories of our motivations.
So do we need to be in a fight with somebody?
I don't want to say that would help, but that would help. Yes.
Let's talk about the Artemis mission then, because Artemis is supposed to be up there. They were supposed to send a female crew in 2024, correct?
By the way, Artemis is the twin sister of Apollo. by the way.
In, I dig it, Daddy-O.
You're all in.
I dig it.
You're all in.
Okay, now they've tried to launch twice, and they've had a little bit of trouble with the mission that was supposed to go up there. Basically,
yeah, we haven't done that in 50 years. Give them a break. Let them have a couple of delayed launches.
Do you know what the problem was with the delay?
Yeah, but so, I don't, you know, it could be any. No, I mean, yes, I read it, but it doesn't matter.
You're not going to tell me. You're not going to tell me what it is.
No, what I'm saying is it's we're returning to the moon, and I'd like to see us continue on to Mars, but the motivation has to be there. Otherwise, we're just not going to do it. What's the motivation? Either you can make a buck, or there's a geopolitical purpose for doing it. And what might that be? Oh, China said they might put astronauts on the moon. Oh, my gosh. So all of a sudden, we say that's the next thing we must do. Okay? So here's what I want China to do.
I just wanted to know what was wrong with the rocket.
Okay, no, no.
Here's
what I want.
Strike a nerve here. I'm sorry, man.
I want the Chinese to leak a memo. Doesn't even have to be true. Leak a memo that says they want to put military bases on Mars. We'll be in Mars in 10 months. Okay? 1 month to design, fund, and build the spaceship, and right. The 9 months to get there. Or maybe Elon's got one in his garage, okay?
So, probably does.
But Mars is already red? That'd be an easy sell in China. Just think about that, to market that.
I'm on board.
So, anyhow.
So was there a hydrogen leak? Why didn't the rocket go off? That's all I wanted to know. What was
the something with the fuel.
Something with the fuel. Okay, sure. You don't know.
It's hydrogen fuel. By the way, if you have hydrogen and oxygen and you bring them together, it's highly exothermic. So a lot of energy gets created. And you know what the waste product is?
Water.
Water, yes.
That's right.
Yes, yes.
I'm a big fan of two hydrogen, one oxygen.
Yeah, as is everyone. Yes.
Especially if I put a little bourbon in there. We have to take a quick break. If you'll stay there and you stay there, we'll be right back with more Neil deGrasse Tyson, everybody. Stick around.
Jon Stewart is back in the host chair at The Daily Show, which means he's also back in our ears on The Daily Show Ears Edition podcast. The Daily Show podcast has everything you need to stay on top of today's news and pop culture. You get hilarious, satirical takes on entertainment, politics, sports, and more from Jon and the team of correspondents and contributors. The podcast also has content you can't get anywhere else, like extended interviews and a roundup of the weekly headlines. Listen to The Daily Show, Ears Edition, wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, everybody, we're back here with Neil deGrasse Tyson. I've heard about this book from you for a while now.
Oh, thank you. It's been
I know it's important to you.
Yeah.
It's called Starry Messenger, Cosmic Perspectives on Civilization. What is a cosmic perspective, Neil deGrasse Tyson?
Oh, it changes you. It's what the world and all your problems and all your issues and what everybody's arguing about, it's what that looks like when you ascend and look back on Earth. And think about it. When we went to the moon, forget the geopolitics of it. Yes, we went to the moon to explore the moon, and we looked back over our shoulders, and we discovered Earth for the first time. And there was Earth in all its majesty without the color-coded countries that we were trained on in elementary school so that you know who your friends are and who your enemies are. Think of how inculcating that is in an educational trajectory. So here you are, there's Earth as only nature intends you to see it, with oceans, and land, and clouds. That changes you. And in fact, by the way, we went there in 1969, stopped going in 72. You know what happened over those 3 years? We created the Environmental Protection Agency, the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, NOAA. The first Earth Day was all of that happened in that three-year period. There was a firmware upgrade.
In our perception?
There was a firmware upgrade in our perception of Earth as a holistic entity that we have to protect.
We have to take a little break here, but when we come back, I will ask Neil how one might acquire a cosmic perspective.
Now you can feel like you're in the audience at the Ed Sullivan Theater with official Late Show with Stephen Colbert merchandise at ParamountShop.com. Shop t-shirts, mugs, accessories, and more. And Late Show Pod Show listeners can take 20% off with code TLS20. That's 20% off at checkout on all Late Show products with code TLS20 at ParamountShop.com.
Everybody, we're back here with the author of Starry Messenger, Cosmic Perspectives on Civilization, Neil deGrasse Tyson. I want the cosmic perspective. Not all of us can go to space. Can I get it just sitting in traffic?
No. No.
So, how do I get it, Neil?
Here's what
other
do.
Than buying
okay.
Starry Messenger.
This is the only way to get
this
the cosmic. No. So
give me a quick cosmic
perspective. I will not put you top of the list. I'll put all the warring leaders of the world. Get Elon to build a space bus, okay? By the way, though, it sounds weird, but there's already like an Airbus
sure.
company.
Yeah.
Right? It's not a romantic term, but let's keep going. Space bus. Elon, build us a space bus. We fly all the warring factions of the UN into space and have them look down on Earth and all the national borders dissolve. And that... They'll realize how small and fragile we are here on Earth and what we have to protect. And by the way, all of our arguments, things that you were deeply dug into and you think you've thought them through, they will often crumble under rational analysis flavored by a cosmic perspective. Can I just give you a quick example? I'll be quick.
I hope you will.
Okay, okay.
And you don't have to be quick.
Okay, no, okay.
The more you talk, the less I work.
Okay. No, there are thoughts we have. For example, if let's say you're a vegetarian, well, there's a chapter in here called Meat Eaters and Vegetarians. Yeah, I went there. So there's people say, I don't want to kill animals. I don't have a problem with that. They probably have a humane mousetrap in their basement. Mm-hmm. They don't want to snap the neck of the mouse. So they capture the mouse. You got to check on it every couple of days because they dry out real quick. So there it is, and they set it loose into the wild, where they have guaranteed it will be swallowed whole by an owl or picked apart by all manner of woodland predators. The average life expectancy of a mouse in the wild is 9 to 18 months. So the best thing you can do with a mouse is leave it in your basement. It'll live up to 6 years there. That's how you protect the life. But that's not what they're doing. Meanwhile, the house is made of wood from 50 trees with floorboards and 2x4s and structural members and trees. Each tree every day produces 15 times the mass of the mouse in oxygen. And the tree is home to birds and insects and fungus and squirrels. Who do you think nature cares more about, your mouse or the tree? And you'll say, well, the mouse has a beating heart. Tree doesn't. Maybe the tree doesn't need a beating heart. That's your criterion for what's important? If you cut a tree, does it not bleed? If you cloak a tree, does it not suffocate? If you cut off its nutrients, does it not wither and die? And some trees live 1,000 years. The giant sequoias in the Pacific Northwest. Oh, but you're gonna cut them all down, build your house, and save a 1-ounce chubby mouse.
Wow.
I got one more. Can I? Sorry.
So what I'm hearing, I want to hear one more, but what I'm hearing so far is either save all of them or save nothing. I can't quite tell.
No, I'm not here to give you your opinions. I'm here to make sure whatever opinion you do have is more fully informed than it probably was to begin with.
Je comprends.
Okay.
Okay, so your other example, please.
Another quick example.
Again, this is all can be found in Starry Messenger.
Yes, yeah.
Neil deGrasse Tyson.
The next best thing to going into space.
Exactly.
You read
okay.
this book. Okay. So I often introduce aliens because they don't have any preconceived notion of who and what we are, and we get a sense of what they might say. Okay.
Sure.
So I imagine
theoretical aliens.
Yeah, exactly. Theoretical aliens. I can't divulge other. So imagine photosynthesizing sentient aliens. Okay. So they're basically sentient plants.
Okay.
And so they're in a spaceship, and they saw that Earth has a good biodiversity of plants, and it's on their tour book. They got rainforests and things, so they come to visit, and then they meet vegetarians, who expressly eat plants, and they'll freak out. And it's not just plants. They notice that vegetarians target the reproductive organs of plants, the flowers, the berries, the nuts, all of the things. The plant's just trying to make another version of itself. Nope, let's eat it. In fact, last night, I had zucchini blossoms for dinner, okay? The zucchini's just trying to make another zucchini. But no, I ate it. And now, imagine the aliens. They go check in on Whole Foods, and they see people shopping in the produce aisle, and then they notice these same vegetarians, they're into infanticide. Because they're selecting baby carrots, baby spinach, baby artichokes, baby arugula, baby everything. And these aliens, they say, what the hell's going on here? What? And then they run back.
They attack us? Is that where this movie is going? They eventually attack us?
No. But it offers cosmic perspectives, it's another way to think about what it is you do. So you might feel more strongly about what you do or less, mm-hmm. but it's another way to look at how you have formulated what it is you think and do, and who you're going to argue with, especially at Thanksgiving.
To come up with that idea of the sentient plants, did you smoke any baby plants?
No. Oh, by the way, did you know E.T. was a sentient plant, not an animal?
E.T.'s a plant?
Yes.
Turn on your heart light. He's got a heart.
Okay, well, okay. So they gave it a heart just so you can relate to it, but it was a plant. And
you know, how do you know it's a plant?
Do you remember E.T. would touch the plants and they would go back?
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
not an accident.
Why?
It's a plant.
How do you know this?
Steven Spielberg told me in my office.
Really? Is that true? Is that true? Starring Messenger is on sale now. Neil deGrasse Tyson, everybody.
This has been The Late Show Poncho with Stephen Colbert. If you're enjoying The Late Show Poncho, leave us a 5-star review on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. Watch The Late Show with Stephen Colbert weeknights at 11:35, 10:35 Central on CBS and Paramount Plus. And for more exclusive Late Show content, follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, and subscribe to The Late Show on YouTube.
Check out our new NBA show, Beyond the Arc, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network, where you can find me, John Gonzalez, NBA insider Bill Reiter, and Ashley Nicole Moss, 5 days a week talking all things NBA. Whether you're looking for insightful discussions, upbeat commentary, breaking news, interviews, or coverage of all the biggest stories in the NBA, our new show is the place to be 5 days a week. Download and follow Beyond the Arc on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your favorite podcasts.
Calling all benders and non-benders alike. Jump into the epic world of Avatar with your favorite podcast, Avatar Braving the Elements. Hosted by me, Janet Varney.
And me, Dante Bosco. Each week we'll recap and discuss a new episode.
So come join us and our amazing guests, from creators to cast to superfans, to chat about all things Avatarverse.
It's Fire Nation time. Book of Fire. Let's go. Listen to Avatar Braving the Elements
wherever you get your podcasts.